This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
1.1 KPFT Houston.
Greetings of the season. May we grant each other peace. May the blessings of this time be ours to keep. Celebrate the reason to be children once again, and welcome in a stranger as a friend. It's the very best time of the year, calling up the best of.
Of the girls I love, even more than I usually do. And although it's been said I may never be wed, I promise you
for Christmas and Easter and Labor Day. You can really count on me. Not homo sapien, not homo erectus, but homosexual.
We'll stand below the mistletoe and share anatomy. Christmas Eve will find us where it's warm and gay.
You are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on good old Pacifica Station KPFT Houston 90.1 FM 89.5 in Galveston. I'm Jimmy Carper and I'll be actually the producer for the evening because my co-executive producer is out sick tonight. Chris Harrison is out sick. I've got Wes with me.
Howdy, howdy, howdy everybody.
And I've got what's his name?
Merlin.
Bang.
Merlin off in the other room over there.
You and the horse you rode in on. Love you, too.
Oi. How's it going, Merlin?
Merlin is the official, unofficial host of After Hours. And Wes is a, as I found out last week, is a music aficionado.
Very much so, very much so.
For, especially for choral music.
Yeah. I was in the South Florida Gay Men's Chorus down there in Fort Lauderdale, Pompano mm-hmm. Beach area.
I think I have one of a South Florida in there somewhere.
I haven't made it all the way through
yet.
Oh,
okay.
I'm working on it, though.
You're working on it.
I'm getting a nice selection going on.
I have handed him all of the choral music because since Chris is out tonight, I told him I was going to play it just a whole bunch of it tonight because he hates choral music and bitches every time I try to play some. So,
well, I'll put it this way. I went to the Renaissance Fair today with Merlin.
That's the reason for that shirt.
Yes, very much so.
Mm.
It's a new shirt, actually.
Ah.
And Merlin got to sample of some of my singing on the way back home.
No kidding.
Yes, because yeah. I was singing along with the radio on the way home.
Oh. You know, we got that one station that plays Christmas till you're ready to kill somebody.
Until you're ready to puke snowflakes.
Oh, that sunshine station.
Yes, until you're ready to.
Yeah, they've been playing
puke
it for quite a few days now.
Yes, they have been.
And cough up
at least
mistletoe.
Since Friday, anyway.
Well, actually, since Wednesday.
Well, I know of at least Friday because I heard it at work.
I heard it Wednesday.
Yeah.
I thought, oh my
so
God,
we were listening.
It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
So you know.
Well, Thanksgiving's over and with now, darling.
Yes, I know.
By the way, did you have a good one?
Yes, I had the most unusual Thanksgiving I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Yes.
What happened?
Judy and I just kind of vegged out. Usually, you know, I'm baking pies and we're getting, Judy and I are organizing dinner at Mary's for the masses and, you know, getting all of this stuff and preparing it. And this year, we didn't have that chore to do.
Oh, so you basically had a quiet Thanksgiving.
Extremely quiet, and so we took advantage, and we were on the other side of the table this year, so we went out and went to Crocker, where they had a nice spread.
Oh,
done
very
by
nice.
Gregory.
Very nice.
Gregory the chef. So it was really good. And then went over to EJ's for another one.
There you go. Well, I had a quiet one also. I wasn't expecting my mom to give me a call, and she gave me a call and said, hey, let's go to Luby's at about 2 o'clock. And I was like,
do you know?
And I had a really great dinner over there.
Funny you should say that, because before I popped to Judy, hey, why don't we go to the bars and, you know, get free dinner? You know, because, you know, we've been putting it on for the last several years, and let's take advantage of it. That's what we had planned to do.
Well, it was amazing. It was great. I enjoyed it. I mean, they had the turkey and mm-hmm. all the fixings mm-hmm. and everything. And I mean, it's like it was absolutely, it was really good.
And you were with family?
Yeah, I was with my mom. It was just me and my mom. Mm-hmm. I mean, my brother and his partner were off doing their thing. My mm-hmm. sister and her kids were doing their thing. The rest of my family was wherever they were.
Yeah.
Throughout.
Some years that happened.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was basically spread across mm-hmm. The states on Thursday. So,
wow.
And my roommate and his other half went to their respective parents' houses. So it was
wow.
just basically me, and I was just going to kind of hang out at home, have a little bit of something to eat. But Mom called and said, hey, let's go to Luby's. And I was like, sure,
yeah,
why not? And she paid, so.
Hey, that's
was great. All great for me.
And Merlin?
I spent...
Did you go down to Rose and Pego's?
No.
Okay.
No, the only way I'd go there is if you were...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't get invited to that unless
well,
you...
Well, it's Missouri City. Yeah.
I was down somewhere near some place called Crosby, I think.
Oh, my.
Oh, geez.
On purpose?
Yes, on purpose.
Crosby? Well, come on, Merlin.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah. Anyhow...
Was this a fairy thing?
I was out here. No, I was out where the deer and the redneck roam. in a friend of mine's.
Did you see more deer or redneck?
A pagan friend of mine's. Well, there were a handful of pagan folks.
Yes.
And there was a very large contingent of Church of Christ. Who are all part of the same family.
Yeah.
And so I was not with my relatives, but I was with family.
Yeah.
Was it rainbow family or
no? Well, sort of. At least one, but
I
that's
see.
Anyhow. But
we digress.
And one of the people at this gathering was rather musically inclined. He writes all kinds of. He composes music.
Really?
Anyhow. But that's a whole nother issue.
Okay.
But yeah, so I did the usual, the great Thanksgiving feasting thing and got sent home with lots of food.
Ooh.
The night before that, however, Wednesday night, I did the Bering, HIV group's annual Thanksgiving to-do.
Really?
Yeah. Every year they have a Thanksgiving hoo-ha, and usually the thing is a potluck,
yeah.
But on the Thanksgiving dinner is catered.
Oh,
and
nice.
Stuff, and
nice.
So it's really kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've rather, and then, of course, we went to fair today.
Yeah.
And so, it was a blast, too.
And
I
we had
it.
A blast, we had fun. And
I spent way too much money.
He spent
you
a fortune.
You always do.
I didn't spend anything at all.
Well, as your favorite saying goes.
Yeah, too much month at the end of the money.
Oh, yeah.
And he was so broke he couldn't pay attention.
But I still had a good time, and we had a good time, mm-hmm. and we just wandered about fair. It was Celtic Christmas weekend at fair.
No wonder.
Hence the wreath on my head.
Yes.
Hence the mistletoe, and holly growing out of my head. so that, and that's sort of a thing that I love doing. I love going to fair, and it's part of the whole adventure of this season for me, because now that they've extended fair through Thanksgiving weekend. And next weekend is Dickens on the Strand, which I haven't been to in a very long time.
Are you
I can't
going?
Remember. I can't remember the last time I
have no plans to go.
Me either.
But, if somebody invites me, I'll more than happy.
I've gone for the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years, but I'm not going this year.
I can't
Did
remember
the
last time I was
there. Did you
make
it to fair this year?
No.
Because, I saw your favorite ornament shop.
Yeah, and Merlin pointed it out to me.
I pointed it out to him, and I said, Jimmy has the world's largest collection of these ornaments. He has hundreds of these.
And I was like, holy Christ.
Okay.
That was a good one.
Okay.
There are a few interesting things that come up when it comes to holidays with people mm-hmm. of varying backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's interesting when they're saying the, like, grace at the beginning of dinner, and it's like, and I'm, you know, for years I've been joking that I, what I gave up for Lent was Catholicism.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. But still, it was a good, I had, the last few days have been really good, all in all. I mean, it got the holidays off to a good start.
Good.
So.
Yeah. We've got, all of a sudden, we've got a pretty packed show, and I'll tell you why. Normally, on the fifth Saturday, it's a music show, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a leisurely paced thing, mm-hmm. and perhaps it will be later on, but right now we've got community events we want to talk about.
Yes.
Chris invited the Stage Door folks from Pasadena to come in and talk about the play that they're doing right now.
Oh, excellent.
And they have arrived.
Well, well.
And we've got the transgender folks who were supposed to be here last week and kind of got screwed up on the, you know, fourth or
so
the fifth.
So is that fifth
yeah.
Saturday.
I know. I know. So they're here, too. So, and I told them that I really want to talk to them because they have a report on the Transgender Day of Remembrance
right.
that was held last week at the Holocaust Museum. And it's something that I usually go to, and I didn't get to go to this year. So I really want to hear about it. So let's get into the community things. I'm going to start off, yeah, because I've got the ones happening, like, immediately.
Yeah. All right.
Yes. Join Bethel Church, UCC, and GAYO, the Gay and Lesbian Latin Organization, on Sunday, November the 30th, for a bilingual World AIDS Day service. The service begins at 7 p.m. and includes music, readings, and an opportunity to remember friends and loved ones lost to AIDS. Bethel Church UCC is located at 1107 Shepherd. The Reverend Ralph Lasher is interim pastor. Bethel and GAYO are co-hosting this annual service. There is more information about other World AIDS Day events, including the citywide candlelight observance at 5:30 on December 1st in at Tranquility Park. And it's at the website of www.worldaidsdayhouston.org. And let's see, some Reese's upcoming events, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star. I have this great list from Sir Matt Gill, who I got to meet today, actually. He had the drag sale last weekend, and what they didn't sell, they donated to GCAM for the Earthquake Closet.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We have a whole bunch of more stuff that people can come in and borrow.
Mm. Excellent.
Yeah. What coming up is, let's see, November 30th, The Lights of Love.
So that's
With Barbara Walker at the BRB at 6 p.m.
That would be today.
Yes, that would be. Later on today, Lights of Love, Houston 2008, A Night to Remember, hosted by Empress 17, Barbara Walker, 7 p.m. at the Brazos River Bottom. Actually, it says 6 p.m. here. And Angels immediately followed by Angels Among Us. That's the Arisi's Holiday Show, hosted by Emperor 15 Bob Boughton and Empress 23 Cheyenne. That's at 8 o'clock at the BRB. Wow, lots of stuff going on at the BRB later on tonight. And one more thing. On Monday, December 1st, that is the 20th anniversary of World AIDS Day. And
yeah.
I remember that explicitly because we announced the first World AIDS Day on this show.
Mm.
And I just flabbergasted me. I couldn't remember if it was 88 or 89, but yeah, 88.
Wow.
In appreciation of this day, Legacy Community Health Services will be offering free rapid HIV testing at 215 Westheimer from 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. and at 5602 Lyons from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Monday. On Saturday, December the 6th, they will be offering free rapid HIV testing at 215 Westheimer from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. They will have free food, drinks, and giveaways on Saturday. please be sure to tell all your friends and family members about these events. And that's a real bargain. Mm-hmm. To have it free, and the rapid testing is you get the results in like 20-30 minutes.
Oh wow.
Yeah, rather than the week that it
week two take, weeks whatever
yeah,
it is
that it takes the regular ones. And so I think Wes, you're next.
Okay. I'm seeing here Illumination Projects is a dance, a music, a comedy showcase that's scheduled for December 6th at 7:30 p.m. at the Hobby Center's Zilka Hall. And tickets are $25 to $35. The Hobby Center donates the facilities and staff, and the performers donate their time and energy to make a fantastic show for you. This year's show has some wonderful performers, and you can find them listed on the attached poster, which shows Hope Stone, Resurrection MCC, the Houston Ballet, the Debris Sisters.
That's me.
There we go. Good old Jimmy over there.
I'll be in a pink wig.
Woo!
Why am I not?
Why does that not surprise me, Jimmy?
This is me not being surprised.
It's a comedy routine. Yeah.
No, really? You never do that.
The Houston Metropolitan Dance Company, Houston's Flyboys, Sean Welling's Planet Funk, the City Ballet of Houston, Marcia Mink and Gill.
Marcia.
Oh, Marcia. Excuse me.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Lone Star Lariats.
Uh-huh.
Sarah.
Sholander.
Thank you. Urban Souls and Cheyenne. Quite a list there.
It's a great list.
I like that.
Wonderful, wonderful show. And I was at an event tonight that raised money to be able to buy tickets for Indigent AIDS folks
to go
to that.
Our beneficiaries are AIDS Foundation Houston, Montrose Counseling Center, and through ARESIS, mm-hmm. we have the Legacy Community Health Center services and Assist HERS. This year's events are co-sponsored by the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc., a 501c3 charity that raises money for HIV/AIDS and breast cancer service providers. So any donations may be tax deductible.
Yay!
As you know, most AIDS patients on Social Security live near or below the poverty line. Most have a hard time finding good health care, and if it wasn't for agencies like our beneficiaries, they may not have lived this long. Since they don't have any extra cash, a show like this is usually out of their means. And since we have extra seats at this time, a show is planned to raise money to send AIDS clients to the show. The show is open to all performers.
That's the show tonight.
That's yeah.
It
there
was
we go.
Already tonight. So you
all right, excellent.
Okay.
So just remember, they've purchased seats, $35 seats, and they're only going to be for $25, and donate them to the beneficiary clients.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this next part is still available, right, though?
Yeah.
Where they can go to the Hobby Center, www.thehobbycenter.org, excuse me,
uh-huh.
and use promo status donations and purchase tickets for a client yourself. So, that's great.
Okay.
Great, great, great.
What else you got?
I got, looky here. Toys in Boyland 3.
Ooh.
Friday, December the 5th. At Tony's Corner Pocket. Mm-hmm. Show starts at 8 p.m. Special guests are Marissa Ray,
mm-hmm.
Vanessa Ray, Mr. Prime Choice.
Oh, yeah.
And many others.
Mm.
And it's going to benefit the PWA Holiday Charities.
Great.
Okay. Let's see here. What else we got going on here? Oh, here we go. Boo Boo presents his first annual Boo Boo Land Christmas show.
That's Eric Stutes, who's affectionately known as Boo Boo.
Yeah. So his show is going to be Friday, December the 5th at 9 p.m. at the BRB.
Everybody head to Boo Boo Land.
There we go. Looks like he's got quite a list of beneficiaries going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Country Houston, PWA Holiday Charities, and let's see if I can read this one here. Kind of blurry on that.
Oh, sorry. That was my printer.
Nah, that's all right.
That's okay.
Can't read that one, so.
Sorry.
Sorry about that, Boo Boo.
Okay, so that's when?
That's going to be Friday, December the 5th at 9 p.m.
Okay, at the BRB?
At the BRB. So
2400 Brazos.
Yep, so you got a couple of shows to go going on there, one at 8 and one at 9.
Cool.
And then HAB, Bear Beer Bust. That's a tongue twister.
That's Houston Area Bears.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sunday, December the 7th.
Say that five times fast.
I don't think so. From 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. And this event's going to repeat every month on the first Sunday until Wednesday, December the 31st. Going to be at Tony's Corner Pocket at 817 West Dallas Street. Come join the Houston Area Bears for their monthly social at Tony's Corner Pocket on the patio. Check out www.HoustonAreaBears.com for more info.
And if it's a little bit chilly, just wrap yourself around one of those nice big furry bears.
Or have them wrap themselves around you.
There you go. Are you furry?
Not really.
I'm furry enough.
Well, you would know.
Okay.
Merlin got anything in there?
Oh, he certainly does.
I got all kinds of interesting stuff going on here. Okay, so De La Soul Productions presents A Country Christmas, hosted by Miss Southern Comfort, with special guest
My favorite
Mr. Drink, TGRA 2009, Eddie Taylor. That's on Sunday, December 7th, 2008. 7:30 at the BRB, Brazos River Bottom. It's 2400 Brazos Street, Houston. Tables are $75. To RSVP, contact Darry Smith at Daedalus, which is Daedalus at gmail.com. Benefiting a Texas tradition, the TGRA 09 Fall Rodeo.
Texas Gay Rodeo Association.
Yep. Okay. Sing along with the Judy Garland Christmas Special.
This is going to be so fantastic.
Return to 1963 when CBS first aired this ultra-campy black and white television special featuring Judy at her Judy-est.
Oh, yes. It's so sad. I mean, she is so high throughout the whole thing, you know.
Yes, yes. With, I don't know who, Noxie Ford? Is that Noxie?
Nancy.
Oh, that's Nancy. Okay.
Do we need to get you some new eyeballs?
With the blurry letters.
Okay,
here.
Well, she's not noxious too many times. I've seen her noxious once or twice.
Additional holiday music provided by the Houston Pride Band Jazz Ensemble.
Oh, good.
This will be located at In-N-Out at 1537 North Shepherd, Sunday, December 7th, 6 o'clock.
It's going to be so much fun.
Doors open at 5. Suggested donation, $20.
Yeah, it's a little pricey, but it's for charity.
Light whore's ovaries.
Oh, yes.
And a holiday raffle. Presented by Kindred Spirits Christmas Celebrations, benefiting a Sisters Bearing Support Network, Houston Buyers Club, and Lesbian Health Initiative. Tickets at kindredspiritshouston.com. And a proud sponsor, Outsmart.
Yeah.
Yay.
I had a wonderful conversation this evening with Lillian Devereaux, a.k.a. Phil Lyles, who I reported a few weeks ago had this horrible accident at Tony's and had to have facial reconstruction done. He fell and smashed his face into the cement.
Cement and phone don't really go together.
So I had a wonderful talk with him tonight at the show, and he was telling me about all the rumors he had heard about himself, about how bad off he was, and what it, you know, and so we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
There you go. Yes. There you go.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that because it was too funny.
Okay.
All the things that people thought had happened to him.
I don't know.
But
who.
He looks great. I mean, they kind of had to pull the skin back and give him a titanium forehead.
Yeah,
you know, and then pull it back. I think they pulled it back.
Hey, they put they put Woodward's face back together after the bomb blast Iraq. I think, you know, they can do some pretty incredible stuff.
I think when
days.
They pulled it back,
they really can.
They tightened it up a bit because he looked fabulous.
Did he drop a few years?
I was going to say, did he lose a few years there?
Great. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, we'll talk about that later.
You know, I had half a facelift when I had my tumor surgery.
Yeah.
Only on one half of myself.
Okay. What else you got?
I don't know who we are.
Yeah.
But it says, we are pleased to announce our December program entitled Montrose Field of Studies of a Neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who.
It's the Houston Public Library,
Because it only starts with we.
Yeah.
The program will take place at the Freed Montrose Library. That's right there at Montrose and...
whatever.
And, yeah.
close to Richmond.
They have a street
close to Richmond.
Yeah,
right there by the Black Lab and all of those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyhow, 4100 Montrose. This will take place Saturday, December 13th from noon to 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
Three graduate students from the Anthropology Department of Rice University will be presenting their work on the Montrose neighborhood with the topics of the local market in African art objects, Near Town Association, and the TGRA, the Texas Gay Rodeo Association.
You know, I've been in Montrose just about all my life, and I didn't think that we needed anthropology people to tell me about what happened when I was young.
Well, I kind of figured you probably would know.
They had
those big animals running around, didn't they?
Large lizards.
What were they called again?
Woolly mammoths.
Dinosaurs.
Trade.
Okay. So, for more information on this thing, contact Professor Rydell should I give out the phone
number? Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
832-729-3765. The library itself may be reached at 832-393-1800.
He's done work with the Pride Committee and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, this is very queer friendly.
There's another name here, Joe Collier.
Yeah.
Senior Library Service Specialist.
She is.
Chair LGBT Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Houston Public Library.
Okay.
500 McKinney. And there's another two numbers here, 832-393-1659, the Texas Room. And 832-393-1665, which is the direct line.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyhow.
Can you do the thing on the solstice? And then we got to get to the...
I'm getting there.
Okay.
That's coming up next.
Okay.
Because I have no idea what that is. So.
Oh, that's December 10th is Day Without Gay.
I see that, but it doesn't tell me anything about it.
That means...
Call in gay.
Call in gay.
Yeah.
There is a group that wants to have every gay person in America go on strike on December the 10th. Don't go to work. Don't buy anything. Don't go anywhere. Don't, you know, just...
Sit home and be a vegetable?
Yeah, and let the world know just what it's like not to have gay people.
Not to have us in it.
Yeah.
You
can't get your hair done.
What will River Oaks do without its hairdresser?
Exactly.
Anyhow.
Heaven forbid.
So our last bit of information here is something that sounds kind of fun, pagan child that I am. This is to announce that the solstice party this year will be Saturday, December 13th at Emerson Unitarian Universalist Church, address 1900 Bering Drive.
Ooh.
The meeting will be held at Westwood Hall on the north side of the buildings. From 12:30 till 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
Please RSVP to RSVP Solstice 2008 at live.com. Okay. And let us know how many will be attending. If you'll let... Okay. Yeah. This is cute. this is their way of handling the food.
Oh.
If your last
name, that's very interesting. I've never seen this before.
Well, do tell.
If your last name begins with A through M, please bring your best side dish or salad. Those with last names beginning N through Z, please bring your most yummy dessert. Yeah. Turkey and ham. Turkey and ham will be provided. There's one special request. When you RSVP, please provide a little known fact about yourself that you don't mind being made public. We are going to use that information to play a fun game. Oh joy! Maybe you'll win a door prize.
The last time somebody asked me to do that in a crowd, I told them that I had had sex with 7,000 different men, and just the room got silent.
Wow!
Was that Cro-Magnon or
some of them were some of the early ones? Yeah,
no, it's just being really good.
Cro-Mag's right up through disco era. You gotta love that. I'm telling you,
and not being a hypocrite about it.
There you go.
Now, okay. Was that an accurate count?
It was a couple of years ago. I sat down and did a ballpark.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was a very good estimate. It was actually a conservative estimate.
Yeah, unlike
I did do a lot of things at the ballpark.
You know, Jimmy just couldn't notch his bedpost for that one. I mean, there'd be no bed left.
There'd be toothpicks. Okay, let's go to some music. Stage Door is here. We want to talk to them. And then we've got the transgender folks we want to talk to. So I've got some... Wes has picked out some music.
Yes.
And this is a very short one from the Windy City Gay Chorus. Richard Guerin, director. This is... Oh, this is a...
One of my favorites.
Yeah. You're listening to it on After Hours, right here on good old KPFT Houston.
To my dancing, she won't.
That was the Atlanta Gay Men's Chorus.
What a wonderful song.
Yes. From their CD, Carols, Revels, and Holiday Cheer. Do you hear what I hear? And before that, we had the Windy City Gay Chorus.
With Silent Night.
Yes. From their CD called Don We Now. And of course, we know what comes out after that.
When we don't don.
And what comes on after this is Stage Door, Inc. We have them right here in our studio. Hi, folks.
Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing? How you
doing?
Doing
good. Good.
I'm so glad you're here tonight because I had never heard of you before until my co-executive producer, Chris Harrison, had mentioned the production of the Laramie Project that you guys did. And I went to see it, and my first thought was, oh, my God, I'm going to Pasadena. To see the Laramie Project, you know, okay, it was the best production I have ever seen of that play.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank
I
you.
Was so blown away. I left the theater. I was in tears. And I got lost.
That happens a lot.
I ended up, there was oil things around me. I don't know where the hell I was. And I just kept driving around till I saw a freeway. I was.
Did you go knocking on strangers' doors?
Not after the Laramie Project. Now that was such an excellent performance. I was just flabbergasted by it, and I've been praising you folks ever since. So now you're here with a new production, I hear.
Yeah.
So what have we got?
We actually have Christmas Bells. It's our Christmas show.
Mm-hmm.
It just opened yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Ah.
We just finished our second showing of it.
Okay, tell me a little bit about it.
And
who are you?
Yeah, introduce yourself.
Yeah.
It's basically about three sisters.
Your name is
Como te llamas.
The guy speaking like a moron is Zach Varela.
He's not lying.
Hey, now.
Let's,
I love you. I
love you, too.
I see it's a family over there.
Yeah. It sounds
you
like
have
it.
No idea.
Kind of like what we got going on here.
Yeah, it's like our crowd, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Keep going, Zach.
Okay, Zach.
You're good. I'll let you talk.
You want to introduce everybody, or you want me to...
Sure.
Okay, so next to me, on my left side, we have Danny Knight.
Hello.
And we have Karen Rush, who is a member of our theater.
Hi.
And we have Robert Simons, who is plays John Curtis in our production.
Hello.
And we have Stephanie...
Patriso,
thank you. She plays Twink in the show, but it's pronounced T-Wink.
I thought Twinks were guys.
I did too.
It's new for us too.
To my right, I have Missy Banks,
yeah.
And she plays Frankie in our production. And behind me, we have our director Mark Anthony Glover, who also plys our nice slow friend Raynard.
I see.
Nothing in real life. Nothing to compare to real life at all.
Is that what? Politically correct?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
That's clearly correct.
The politically retarded would be incorrect.
he walks very slowly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. There, just checking on that.
Mm-hmm. And then we have our technical director, who's also behind us, Dario Faila.
Hi.
And our financial director, Tanya. Great person. Nicest person in the world. Love her.
The quiet one sitting in the
yes.
corner.
Yeah.
She's also my mother.
She's all of our mothers.
Yeah. We all call her mom.
Yeah, we all call her mom. So
and she looks wonderful in green.
She does.
Oh, yeah.
She's great.
Does
fascinating.
So the play.
But I can try, though, can I? Yeah.
I was going to say alluring myself. But.
Oh.
Okay, now what is this play about?
It's basically about three sisters who live in Faro, Texas, mm-hmm. and one of the sisters named Honey Ray Futrell has taken over the Christmas pageant at the Tabernacle of the Lamb. And basically the whole plot...
Hallelujah. It only gets better from here.
Jimmy, behave yourself.
And basically I find out they have an extra sister they didn't know about who lived a county over. And it's basically introducing her into the
Funny
family.
Funny how that happens.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah. In Texas.
And...
Go ahead. Good, wholesome, heartfelt Christmas show with a trailer park twist.
Yep.
Basically, okay. In a nutshell.
You cannot.
Trailer park trying to do the Christmas story.
You cannot do that. You can't do any better than that. You cannot. It's just fabulous. Is it singing and dancing?
There is a singing number at the very end. There are two numbers, and they are awesome. These people sing like angels. You won't believe. I mean, the $15 is just for that one number.
Very true.
Rondalyn does have a solo.
She does.
Why is your director barfing?
Pancake supper.
I played the slow person, so I'm like, what's going on?
Actually, walk faster, probably.
No. I like going slow.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, my.
Just a suggestion.
So,
yes, you're singing in it. There's lots of fun Christmas tunes that people will recognize in the show.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. You know, we have another theater company that comes in. And I know it's too late to do this now. But when they come in, they do a little reading, you know, a little excerpt kind of to get you to kind of, you know,
little tidbit.
Yeah. Ooh. Kind of get you interested in what's going on.
An appetizer.
Yeah.
Oh.
Better word.
Yeah, it's better than whores over.
They can do their lines.
They can do what?
Yeah.
Y'all can.
Ooh.
Y'all know who's here.
Actor's choice, let's see.
Yeah.
So much good stuff.
Boy, I put them on the spot, didn't I?
You're always putting somebody on the spot.
You're John Curtis in 2020.
One of the two.
Or both.
Let's just make it quick. Okay.
which one will do us?
Let's do the angel and the flying. Oh, okay.
Oh.
So. You ready to bring it?
Mm-hmm.
Word up. Our homeschoolers are
on the fly.
Woo, yeah. It's just that good, guys.
Should I beatbox to this? Or
no.
I'll just sit this one out. I'll sit it out. Okay.
Okay,
you have it.
Yeah. Well, I think Honey Ray's got things back on track. Turns out LaDonna Tompkins allergic to hay, but she is hell-bent on being an angel. Her mama's bringing down her inhaler.
Well, I tell you, it will be mighty impressive if Honey Ray manages to fly an angel over the stable, especially an angel the size of LaDonna.
That's right. They got a whole team up in there working on the ropes and the pulleys. John Curtis is in there strapping her to the harness to try another liftoff. Maybe this time she'll actually clear the stable.
Good job.
Oh,
that was great. I like that.
I've been in conversations like that.
I was in one like that on Friday.
I can do one of the other scenes real fast if you want to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go for it.
Start your opening scene three.
Scene three, you're opening.
Scene three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I perceive it, this is a Class A Southern tragedy. Not to infer I'm condoning what you did to you, Wink Futrell. No, I'm not. But it is my position that you come about it naturally.
And just how do you figure that, John Curtis?
With a clear and unclouded eye of legal detection. Factoid A. It is common knowledge amongst the populace of Faro, Texas, that the Futrells are women of passion. If Wiley Hicks had more than an IQ of a milk dud, he would have known that, and you wouldn't be stuck in the situation that you are today.
No, I had no idea you'd put this much thought into it.
Well, we did.
There you go. I could go on.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Milk dud, huh?
We could do the moon pie.
What exactly is that?
Oh, do the moon pie.
Oh, the moon pie.
The moon pie.
The one right before I say.
Which is that one? I don't. Hold on.
How can you not know about the moon pie?
I scream and then I say.
You scream? Okay.
You come in and you tell me something first.
Oh.
Okay.
I'll go off your line.
Okay, fine. Okay. I'll say, John Curtis, I am desperate and I need advice. You know anything about women?
Well, I have acquired a sizable amount of knowledge about the fair sex. However, fair sex may be a misnomer, because in my experience, few, if any, has actually been fair to me.
John Curtis, look, I'm determined to ask GJ to marry me on Christmas Eve. Look, I even brought her this ring. See?
Oh, now that is a beaut. Well, this should make Miss Gina Joan a very happy young lady.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but all of a sudden she seemed, well, fairly distant lately. Like she's backed away from me.
Ah, now that's what we call the PFR. What? Well, that's primal fear of response for you civilians. You see, the female of the species is far more perceptive than the male. And the instant she registers fear, she has a good sense to flee. Oh. Now, this explains why more male perps are apprehended. Now, the way to outmaneuver her natural instincts is to take her by surprise.
Oh, God.
My advice, an extraordinary proposal.
Oh, extraordinary? Oh, like how?
Well, take my parents, for example. Daddy knew how much Mama loved moon pies.
Moon pies.
Yep. So, she took her engagement ring and tucked it right into the center of one.
Uh-huh.
Now, as you know, Mama is a nibbler. She always works the outside edges of the moon pie first before going in for the center.
What?
Well, she finally bit into the middle, and there that diamond be. Sparkling in that fluffy white goo. Excuse me, that part always tears me up.
Oh, that's it, John Curtis, that's it. Thank you, you have renewed my hope.
Just here to protect and to serve. You go get her, good buddy. Preacher boy ain't got a prayer.
Make sure on a moon pie.
You are both so believable in this.
I love it. I absolutely loved it. I might actually have to go and see this show.
Oh, yeah. So where? How do we get there? Make believe you're talking to all these people from Montrose, and they have never been to Pasadena.
Wow.
And most of them haven't.
I'm bad with directions.
He's good at directions.
Google it.
That's what I did.
It doesn't always work, though.
That's true.
Mark?
I'm trying to think. The fastest way is probably to go 610 to 225, and then 225 to Pasadena Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Go right on Pasadena Boulevard and go down. The mall, we're actually located inside of Pasadena Town Square Mall.
Yes, you are.
On the left-hand side on the corner of Southmore and Pasadena Boulevard, and we're located in space 284, which is between Sears and Macy's.
Mm-hmm.
And what time is all your shows?
Fridays and Saturday nights, they're at 8, and on Sundays, they're at 3 p.m.
Every Sunday?
Every Sunday for the next three weekends.
Two weekends.
Two more weekends after tomorrow.
When do you close?
One more time?
When do you close?
We close on December 14th.
Okay, so folks have got a couple more weeks to go?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks? Yeah, okay. Great. Well, guys, thanks for coming all the way to the Montrose. And, we've got to have you on for every performance.
Well, there's no rest for the weary. As a matter of fact, tomorrow at 7, we have our next round of auditions, which is for Grease, which is our next show.
You're doing Grease?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
We have awesome. Auditions tomorrow and Monday at 7 at the theater for those auditions.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, what do people have to bring?
Prepared one-minute vocal piece, uh-huh. and they will be taught a combination by the choreographer there, and then we'll read scenes.
Okay, sounds
excellent.
Good.
So everybody that's interested, show up.
Yeah, yep. And put After Hours on your email list.
Definitely,
sure. Yeah, After Hours at kpft.org.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, you'll remember that. Wait a minute, maybe I have a card. I don't know. Is it?
You better have one. I always carry mine around.
Let's see if Chris could put that on the card. Yes. What do you know? We have the gayest card in radio.
Well, we have the gayest host in radio too.
Why, thank you. I work very hard at that.
You're quite welcome, dear.
Guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I cannot wait to see this production. The name of it again?
It's Christmas Bells.
Christmas Bells. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay, we're going to go to some more music right now that Wes has picked out.
Yep.
And it's... I think it's
Turtle
number
Creek.
One. Okay.
Let's do Turtle Creek.
Let's go. And coming up will be the transgender folks.
Thank you.
They found a lowly manger. The humble Christ was born, and God sent out salvation on that blessed Christmas morn. Brought with him forgiveness. He lived to show us a way. He came to redeem all creation and to wash all our sins away.
Hello, this is the M&M show.
It certainly is.
1 week late.
Welcome in, ladies.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you.
Shall we go ahead and say what we played there for a second?
Yes.
Okay. First one we did was Heartland, the Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
The Heartland's Men's Chorus, should mm-hmm. I say. Followed by Garth Brooks' Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Yes, I love that version.
And then
and Garth is so gay friendly.
Yes. And then we did the Police Fallout right after that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And I don't know, did y'all do the top of the hour?
you better go ahead and do that, Jim.
You are listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM.
Yes. This is KPFT with the M&M Show, and we have Missy here.
And Ellie here. Unfortunately, I am going to be your fake other M.
We have Ellie standing in for Mel, who is out there in Cyberland.
Ellie?
Ellie.
The lazy M. It's on its, resting on its side.
Fake one.
Yeah.
That's right. On the side. And I was actually sick the last show, and Melanie was here.
Yes, that's right. Last month.
I was listening. I believe I called in. And
She did very well.
She did very well. The show this evening is a show that's very important. It is going to be about the Transgender Day of Remembrance. And every November, the transgender community sets aside a service here in Houston to recognize and remember those transgendered people who were killed from anti-transgendered violence or some other social pressure that may have been aimed at them via their transgendered status or non-gender conformity. And I was privileged to be able to speak at the Transgendered Day of Remembrance, and Ellie was there as well.
Yeah, it was nice and wonderful and upsetting and very depressing on off of that, but you know, what was it, almost an hour of reading all the horrible ways people have been murdered this year, you know, can get to you. And
yeah,
it's supposed to motivate us to say never again. But
well, one of the most significant things about this year's event, and it is held at the Houston Holocaust Museum, mm-hmm. and one of the most significant things about this was there were actually city officials at this year's event.
Good.
The City of Houston Mayor Pro Tem Sue Lovell was there. The Harris County Sheriff-elect Adrian Garcia was there.
Wow.
The City of Houston Council Member Jolanda Jones was there. They had a representative from the Houston Police Department,
mm-hmm.
Marvin Nickerson, as well as Kristen Williams. She is a member of the Transgender Foundation of America. She's actually the director.
Oh.
And
is that something new?
The Transgender Foundation of America is actually the foundation that spearheads the Transgendered Center.
Oh, okay.
And it's the 501c3 organization mm-hmm. that oversees that and funds okay. that. So it's really an awesome thing. They're doing some awesome work. And actually, maybe Ellie may be doing some work with them as well.
Yeah, I really don't want to discuss it till I actually have it, but
that's okay. why I said maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. So.
But it's a great center, 713 Fargo. I actually called in last month and told them the address. But
yes.
It's the Transgendered Center, the first of its kind in the country. And actually, Kristen is getting ready to leave. One of the missions of the Transgendered Foundation of America is to actually open other transgendered centers like the one we have here in Houston mm-hmm. across the country.
Oh, very good.
And so she is going to be going to San Francisco to scout out locations, put out feelers to try to facilitate something like that happening there as well.
She can get things done.
Yes, she's a little pistol.
Yes.
Those of you who don't know Kristen Williams, she is a tireless leader in the community.
She certainly is.
She is a fearless advocate, and she works her tushy off.
She does.
To make sure that the needs and the voices of the transgender community is heard here in Houston.
I've known her many years.
And we will be looking forward to her coming back from San Francisco and we will miss her while she is gone. I wanted to talk a little bit about the history of the transgendered movement, and I believe we had talked about this last year, but just to refresh people's memory, there's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Magnus Hirschfeld.
Oh, yes.
And he was one of the first pioneers in the field of sexual orientation and gender identity. And he was most well known for coining the term, well, two of the terms to describe transgenderism, transvestism and transsexualism. And he had an institute. It was called the Institute of Sexology. And
in Berlin.
In Berlin. Mm-hmm. And on May 6, 1933, during the infamous Night of Long Knives, the Sex Science Institute was raided by the Nazis, and a lot of the files and books that he and his institute had collected were burned and destroyed.
Priceless, irreplaceable.
Yes. A lot of the files of the clients were confiscated, and a lot of the people were rounded up, and it was the beginning, obviously, of a very, very sad time in our history.
Yes.
But it was very important to us as well, because it was significant to trans violence. And actually the Hamburg city administration was asking the head of police in 1933 to pay special attention, quote, pay special attention to transvestites, and to, quote, deliver them to concentration camps.
Yes.
And
and because of the records kept at the institute, it was
very easy to identify them.
They just had this invitation list to come
just
get
go
all these
right
folks.
To them.
Yeah. Hirschfeld, I believe, was in Switzerland at the time.
Yeah,
that
he
happened.
Died in exile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one of the things most people don't realize, or they may not know about the history of the Pink Triangle, but not only gay people, but transgender people were actually forced to wear the Pink Triangles.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons why it's significant, I think, that we hold a Day of Remembrance at the Holocaust
Absolutely.
Museum.
Yes.
And Kristen had actually acquired a lot of paraphernalia and articles and history on Hirschfeld's institute.
Really?
And they had a special exhibit of that there at the Holocaust Museum.
I'm so sorry I missed that. I usually go, and this year my other half had business plans and I couldn't make it. And
well,
and I had heard that there was going to be an exhibit, and I was really anxious to hear about it, about what was there, because I don't know that there's a lot of material that's still around about transgenders and the concentration camps in early, you know, in Germany in the 30s.
The Transgender Center actually is an archive as well.
Ah.
It houses an archive.
Yes.
And I know that they have some very interesting artifacts. One of the things that, being a history major in college, that strikes my fancy is one of the ashtrays from Compton's cafeteria that was the home of one of the transgendered riots. It was in the Tenderloin, and it was kind of the West Coast Stonewall, the Compton's cafeteria riots. And it was started by transgendered people.
I did not know this.
So, so interesting.
I did not know this.
Yes. And she has one of the ashtrays. It's been boarded up and it's been closed up. And I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. It's like having an ashtray from the Stonewall Bar.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring everyone's attention to today's reality for transgendered people. specifically here in Houston, but a lot of these numbers are very realistic across the country. No transgendered people are covered by health insurance agencies here in Houston. And I'm getting all of this from the Day of Remembrance booklet, which Kristen worked so hard to put together. But it is a list of facts that have been compiled. 16% of TGs have attempted suicide. No homeless shelters will house a transgendered person in Houston.
I found that out the hard way.
74% of TGs experience sexual violence. 27% of TGs are HIV positive. 50% of TGs have been a victim of assault. 47% of TGs live without any type of health insurance. From 1985 to 1998, 20% of physical attacks against transgender people ended in murder. And 60% of TGs have seriously considered suicide. That's a huge
yeah, way, huge number. Way out of proportion to the rest of the population.
And I'm going to read the names at the end of the show. But it just is amazing to me. There was over 30 people who were killed this past year. Over 30 people who have died.
Because they were transgendered.
Because they were transgendered. And this is the 10th anniversary, and I only hope... I spoke at the Day of Remembrance, and I didn't get a chance to mention this in my speech, but I only hope that through education and awareness, maybe next year, we won't have anyone who died. I know it's kind of wishful thinking, and we live in a world where people are afraid, and they strike out and lash out with things that they don't know, but it's important that we do remember these people.
But education is very important, and that's why you're here.
That's right. So, we also are going to be talking about
the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act, otherwise known as GINA, which goes into effect about this time next year.
What is it?
It's basically, it's been lobbied for a long time by the medical community. It's basically, it was designed to protect people's genetic information and to get to encourage them to get genetically tested so they could plan ahead and prepare for things such as Alzheimer's, you know, or other diseases. And the only problem is, you know, there's a lot of holes in it. There's a lot of problems with it. So while it sounds very impressive and very ambitious, it's also kind of worthless in a few ways. And one in particular to transgender people. One of the exceptions to the law, which that what it doesn't cover, is chromosomal genetic information. So if you're added because of your genetic test, you can't sue for that if there's no other genetic protections. Because of the XXXY chromosomes.
So they can... there is a... Are you saying that there's a transgender gene?
No, just your chromosomal sex. Because a transgender person, chromosomal sex will never change. You know?
And so chromosomally, I'm male, even though I present and live my life as female.
I see what you're saying.
You know, genetics...
You're talking more basic than... Yeah.
Yeah. And even if there is, like, a genetic marker for being transgender, which, you know, a recent study said there was.
I saw that study, and I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, that would be protected, but our chromosomal sex would not be.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, keep in mind, this thing was originally designed to sort of for regular people. It wasn't designed with transgender people in mind, and this is the result of about 13 years of lobbying, and it's not perfect. No one's really happy with it, and it has a holes. Like, it will protect your information from your employer, as long as it doesn't fall in one of the exceptions, which is, of course, the chromosomal sex.
Well, not everybody is either XX or XY, either.
Yeah,
there's
but...
There's, you know, XXY and XXX, I guess, and, you know, there's...
XXX? Isn't that a... No.
No, but there is, like, XYYs.
Yes.
And XXYs and that type of thing.
Intersexed people.
So, is that protected or not?
No, basically, anything related to your... It's the chromosomal sex is not protected. Nor is anything that... and if they discriminate because of your family history, you know, that's exempted as well.
So, your employer could find out you're intersexed before you do.
Bingo.
Or that if my employer didn't know that I was transgendered and I submit to these tests, then they find out, bam,
yeah,
they can fire me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the whole point of this legislation was to encourage people to get tested to plan ahead, but it only applies to employment. You know, the stuff that is protected only applies to employment and health insurance, not long-term care.
Well, it's not going to do that because anybody would be afraid to find out that they're not XX or XY.
Well, like I said, this is what happens when you're not a part of the lobbying process.
Mm.
You know, and this was sort of, this thing started before the HIPAA laws were started,
yeah,
you know, the Health Information Protections. And so this was kind of, they started the ball rolling on this, and it sort of went, even though HIPAA went through, and it was supposed to sort of cover some of the loopholes, and it did to some extent, but they left out sort of the long-term care components. And, you know, because, like, you can get long-term care insurance, which would let you get, which would basically cover, like, home care and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And life insurance. But the genetic, GINA doesn't cover that. It allows discrimination by life insurers and such. So, you know, there's unfortunately not a lot to this, and it needs to go back to, and people need to return to lobbying, you know, demanding better protection under GINA or HIPAA.
Is there a... Do insurers reject transgender people for life insurance? As well as... I know it. They're not too thrilled about the medical insurance side of it, but...
Well, I don't know for sure, and unfortunately the internet is out, or I would try and look that up. But I do know that the American Psychiatry Association, the APA,
mm-hmm,
has issued a recommendation to the insurance companies to, it's kind of like a UN recommendation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be followed, but it's really a strong indication of what is followed. And they have said that gender identity disorder is a recognized and legitimate medical condition,
mm-hmm,
and that the insurance companies need to realize and pay for these therapies as legitimate therapies rather than a choice surgery or a surgery,
yes,
that is
elective.
Mm-hmm. So
there's nothing elective about it.
I think that is very significant, even though there's nothing really holding them to that. It is something that is...
It's not holding them to that, but there are
really
other
important
countries who pay. It's part of their health care package.
Oh, yes.
So.
And in Canada, I was on YouTube, and there was a young lady who had just went to the doctor, and she got all of the necessary arrangements, and they paid for her sex change, sex
fabulous
reassignment surgery.
Yes.
And, you know...
But on the upside, insurers, despite all this, are becoming slightly more aware of GLBT issues as a whole. Like, Aetna has started providing a list of GLBT-friendly providers to their insured.
Really?
Yeah, this was, like, in the news, like, 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
So I thought that was rather neat, and makes me very sad that my insurer doesn't do that. So, go, Aetna. Other insurers, take note.
As a person with HIV, I'm just happy to have insurance.
Yes. And, yeah.
Because it's not easy to get in Texas.
No.
And I'm just glad my parents are paying for insurance. Otherwise, it would lapse, and I'd probably be uninsurable. Just because, you know, my trans stuff is pretty much a pre-existing condition, which they won't cover or provide any treatment for. So.
Oh.
So if I have any issues, I better chalk it up to my depression.
Wow.
Yep.
Is that like forever, or do you have to have that policy for a certain amount of years before they will pay?
You have to have a letter of continuing coverage if you get switch providers. And most insurance companies are happy to provide it. And it's not a big deal, but it means you have to be continuously covered by somebody who's reputable.
Okay.
You know, if you let it lapse, you have to apply from scratch, and your conditions from before you're insured don't count.
Oh, okay.
Or aren't considered pre-existing and not covered.
I get it.
Those darn pre-existing conditions.
Yep. Tell me about it.
You know, transgender, it's a pre-existing condition, but it's not a legitimate one.
Well, hopefully we'll have some health care reform here soon.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Looking forward to some changes.
I am too. But I don't expect them right away.
Oh, no.
You know, this is going to be a slow process.
Well,
we've got a lot of healing to do first.
When you've hit rock bottom, there's only one place to go, and that's up.
And we're there.
Yes, yes. But I'll get off my soapbox on that account. Well, we are here with the M&M Show. This is the transgendered segment, 1 week late, but we are happy to be here.
So where's M again?
M is...
The other M.
She is not here. She had prior...
Oh, okay.
...commitments or something. She didn't really say. I talked to her earlier this evening. And
it is a holiday weekend.
Hey,
yeah.
Is it? Well, I guess it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
She said she wasn't going to be able to make it. I was like, hey, I'm going to the radio station. And she's like, oh, I can't make it. Yeah. So,
well, she could have last week.
Yeah. Darn.
Yeah.
Well, it's a thought that counts.
Yes, yes it is.
And we are here.
And I'm so glad you are, because I really wanted to hear about the Transgender Day of Remembrance.
Well, for those of you who want to see and to hear what happened, they actually have it online.
No, really?
They did record it all the speakers in individual segments and also in its entirety. And if you go to www.tgctr.org.
But can you say that again?
That's www.tgctr.org. Okay. And that is the website for the Transgendered Center.
Okay.
Crossroads of America and Crossroads Foundation of America. And that's the TG Center name. But if you search for Day of Remembrance, then you can download that. And I believe they have a website. It is www.tgdor.org.
Say it again now that people actually have a pen and pencil ready.
Yeah.
That's www.tgdor.org.
Okay.
And I believe that that's a direct link or a direct site that you can go to. And it's got not just the 2008 Day of Remembrance, but the 2007 and 2006 Day of Remembrance.
Oh, really?
Well. Yes. As well as the bios of all of the people that I'm going to speak about, and I'm not going to go into the details, but there were a couple of children who committed suicide or were killed, and you know, they ask us to post our comments on this, and I just flip through and read through these names and look at these pictures of these individuals, and it's just so sad to me, because these are my friends, these are my family, these are my brothers and sisters, and
their lives were cut short for no other reason than they were brave enough to live their lives openly and to be who they are. And if you go to that site, the TGDOR.org, you can read more about their individual stories. I'm going to go through and I'm going to read the names of the individuals now. Remembering Our Dead, Letitia King, location Oxnard, California. Cause of death, gunshots to the head. Date of death, February 14th, 2008. Cameron McWilliams, South Yorkshire, England. Date of death, February 4th, 2008. Cause of death, suicide. Kelly Telsford, location, London, England. Cause of death, strangulation. Date of death, November 21st, 2007. Ebony Whitaker, Memphis, Tennessee. Date of death, July 1st, 2008. Cause of death, shot to death. Angie Zapata, Greenlee, Colorado. Date of death, July 17th, 2008. Cause of death, head beaten in. Beyonce Williams, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Date of death, February 22nd, 2008. Shot to death. Felicia Milton Smith, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Date of death, May 26, 2008. Cause of death, stabbed to death. Nikki Williams, Louisville, Kentucky. Date of death, August 23rd, 2008. Cause of death, shot to death. Rosa Pazos, Sevilla, Spain. Date of death, July 11th, 2008. Cause of death, throat cut open. Ruby Molina, Sacramento, California. Date of death, September 21st, 2008. Cause of death, drowned. Adolphus Simmons, Charleston, South Carolina. Date of death, February 22nd, 2008. Cause of death, shot to death. Patricia Murphy, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Date of death, January 8th, 2008. Cause of death, multiple gunshot wounds to the head. Luna, Lisbon, Portugal. Date of death, March 15th, 2008. Cause of death, beaten to death. Sally Kamatoy, Sahara, United Arab Emirates. Date of death, November 19th, 2007. Cause of death, head beaten in. Ashley Sweeney, Detroit, Michigan. Date of death, February 4th, 2008. Cause of death, gunshots to the head. Sasha Stewart, New York, New York. February 9th, 2008. Cause of death, knifed to death. Silvana Barisha, Hamburg, Germany. Date of death, June 24th, 2008. Cause of death, knifed to death. Samantha Rangel Brando, Milan, Italy. July 20th, 2007. Cause of death, beaten, stabbed, and gang raped. Ali, location Iraq. Date of death, January 2008. Cause of death, executed for being transgendered. Gabriela Alejandra Albornoz, Santiago, Chile. Date of death, December 28th, 2007. Cause of death, throat cut open. Dewana Johnson, Memphis, Tennessee. Date of death, November 9th, 2008. Cause of death, shot to death. Ellie Susanna, Jakarta, Indonesia. Date of death, November 7th, 2007. Cause of death, raped and drowned by the police. Stacy Brown, Baltimore, Maryland. January 8th, 2008. Cause of death, gunshot to the head. Fedra Kotoy, Kinabalu, Malaysia. Date of death, July 20th, 2007. Cause of death, thrown off a building and ran over. Unidentified transgendered. Location, Iraq. Date of death, January 2008. Cause of death, executed for being transgendered. Unidentified transgendered. Iraq, January 2008. Cause of death, executed for being transgendered. Brian McGoughlin, Cincinnati, Ohio. Date of death, December 23rd, 2007. Cause of death, gunshots to the head. Lloyd Nixon, West Palm Beach, Florida. Date of death, August 16th, 2008. Cause of death, head beaten in with a brick. Juan Carlos Acaya Coronel, Lombardy, Italy. July 14th, 2008. Cause of death, head beaten in, run down by a car. Jalen L. Nemoa, Makiki, Honolulu, Hawaii. Date of death, July 17th, 2008. Cause of death, knife to death. Tisha Cannon, Syracuse, New York. Date of death, November 14th, 2008. Cause of death, shot to death. Dilek Inche, Ankara, Turkey. Date of death, November 11th, 2008. Cause of death, shot 8 times with a shotgun. These are the name of the individuals who were reported in the media, and there may be others we don't know. A lot of times these individuals were referred to as he or him, or they were not referred to as how they lived their lives, but they were individuals, they were loved, and they were brave enough to live their lives as they wanted to live their lives, how they felt comfortable. Remember these people, and remember that education is very important and that silence equals death. We want to thank you so much for listening to M&M, the transgender radio segment. Tune in next month where we will be talking about holidays and how to deal with depression on the holidays. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you, ladies.
All right.
We appreciate y'all coming in. That was a wonderful list of people. Sad to hear them going away from this world like that.
So. Yeah. Well, the important thing is to remember them and to know that they, while they did die, that they are remembered.
Very much so.
Yep.
All right. We'll see y'all next month.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you played that.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And the music that you've heard has all been selected by Wes.
Yes. I'm enjoying it, too.
Yes, me too. Me too. So, that was...
Well, we had quite a list going on there, okay. But that one was the South Coast Florida, the South Coast Choral, mm-hmm. Coming out for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, we had Seattle's Gay Men Chorus doing the 12 Days After Christmas. prior to that, we went north of the borders to Vancouver. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
They have a nice little chorus up there.
Yes,
Vancouver.
They do. A lot of good choruses all around the country in North America. Before Vancouver, we had Los Angeles doing What Child Is This?
Love that song.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites. I love it. Heartland Chorus before that doing the Christmas song. And then after our transgendered segment, we had Blondie doing Atomic.
Yes. I heard that music. I knew that they were finished.
Yes.
You are listening to... This is Community Radio, commercial-free, listener-sponsored, Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston, 89.5 in Galveston. This is KPFT Houston. And we are After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. I'm Jimmy. Wes and Merlin are with me.
Hello.
We're gathering the gang for roundtable.
Yes.
But I wanted to, first of all, there are two little things I wanted to mention. And then I wanted to talk about Lillian Devereaux, a.k.a. Phil Lyles. The third weekend in December, the third Saturday, we're having... special guest on. We're having Tim T. West. He is one of the founders of Deep Dick Collective, which...
that sounds kind of perverse.
A little. It was one of the very, very first gay hip-hop groups.
Didn't we play something by them last week?
Yes, we did.
I thought we did.
We did.
I enjoyed it, too. It was really good.
Yes. They very intellectual music. And he's going to be bringing some of his newer stuff in.
Excellent.
This is very exciting because he's gone on to bigger and better things.
He's going
to
be here in the studio.
He's going to be here live in the studio.
Excellent.
Cool.
J.D. Doyle will join us for that interview. And I wanted to remind folks that the AIDS Foundation Houston began its 14th annual Red Ribbon Toy Drive on Monday, November the 10th. The annual Red Ribbon Toy Drive is a collaboration of AIDS Foundation Houston, Texas Children's Hospital, Harris County Hospital District, which includes clients of Thomas Street Clinic, Northwest Clinic, and Women's Clinic at LBJ, the University of Texas Health Science Center Houston, Baylor College of Medicine, and the University of Texas Medical Branch Galveston. We are once again very excited to partner with Reliant Energy as our main corporate sponsor. Due to the generosity of many throughout our community, children both infected and affected by HIV/AIDS from birth to 17 years of age will have a brighter holiday. And there's drop-off locations for your donations of new toys at AIDS Foundation Houston, the Alley Theater, BioScript Pharmacy, StatScript Clinic, the BRB, Brazos River Bottom, Crocker Bar, Decades, EJ's, George, Legacy, Mary's, The Outpost, Reliant Energy, Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church, the Ripcord, St. Arnold Brewing Company. So you folks who drink beer, remember that. These folks are in it with us.
That's quite a list.
And we're all in it together.
The Artful Corner, Tony's, and Visible Changes at Baybrook Mall, First Colony, Galleria, Woodlands.
That is an impressive list.
Isn't that?
I'm glad to hear so many companies coming together for something like that. Especially at this time of year.
That's right.
And so many that are just in completely different markets from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different
markets. We can work together, folks.
And yes, of all places, Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. I'm glad. It heartens me to hear that everybody can actually put aside all these differences that everybody seems to have in the world and actually be human beings.
Yeah.
Instead of being, well, I'll leave that word alone for now. And actually coming together and helping out these kids. Yeah. I know the company I work for, we're not able to do it this year because of the economic crunch that's going on right now. But normally, every year, we put on a toy giveaway for children that wouldn't normally have a good Christmas.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this year, we're not going to be able to do that. And we usually give away tons of toys. I mean, we put a Christmas tree up in the middle of the store.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a huge Christmas tree, and it's always surrounded by toys.
Yeah.
Just toys and toys and toys and bikes.
Wow.
Like different dolls and stuff like that. And again, this year we're not able to do that.
Company's probably not the only one. I mean, there's a real crunch going on.
There really is. And I mean, it's just sad that we can't do that this year, because last year I actually helped pass out some of the toys and bikes and stuff like that, and just seeing the faces of these children light up when we gave them these toys was just it made my whole day. And we did it on a Saturday at the beginning of the day so that we could conduct some business after passing out all these toys. And I mean, just to see all these children show up to receive these toys, and I mean, so get out there, get these toys for these kids.
That's
turn
right.
them into these locations that Jimmy just read out. Let's make a Christmas for some of these kids that are less fortunate and aren't going to have the Christmas that they really, really want to have.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of us were out there. We had good Christmases. Others of us may not have had such great Christmases and maybe got maybe one thing, or if maybe not even gotten anything.
Yeah.
Let's turn that around. Get out there, do something for the community as a whole, not just the gay community or the GLBT
community. But our community
general. Just anybody. I mean, it doesn't matter. There's too many kids out there.
Yeah.
It's you're right. At this time of year, you know, we shouldn't just narrow our sights.
We need to be humans.
We need to step up and say we're a part of the entire society.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We are the city of Houston. Yeah. We are not Montrose. We are not Spring. We're not Woodlands. Yeah. We are the city of Houston. Yeah. Let's do this for the Houstonian kids. Come on, people, get out there, get those toys and turn them in.
You're good.
Well, I mean,
yeah, he's very good at that sort of thing.
Well, yeah. What can I say? I mean, again, like I said, I've been with them for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I've been through two Christmases with this company, and again, it just saddens me that we can't do what we did the previous 2 years that I've been with this company. And seeing all these toys that we gave out, I mean, for a lot of people, this is their favorite time of year. But for me, it really, really is, because I have so many great memories with my brother and my sister, just being kids together. And going through and opening all these Christmas gifts, and then going to the grandparents' house and opening more Christmas gifts. And I mean, just remember what that felt like, and help these kids.
Sure.
That's basically what this is all about.
Wow. You know, it really is. We're all going through a lot this year with the economy gone south, and
we really
everything.
Are.
And traditionally, you know, I mean, we don't hear. It's sad to say, usually we don't hear nearly as much from the larger groups, you know, helping the smaller groups, the ones who are... It really is statistically that people who are almost in as bad a shape are the ones who are still dishing it out to help people who are just under their situation, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, people who are poor, who are borderline, you know, middle class poor, helping the just below them, the poor, as far as economically speaking. And so it's kind of nice to see, as you were saying, that, you know, there are some pretty major involvements here, saying, you know, this is getting all of us. It's time for all of us to do something.
You're right.
You know?
You're absolutely correct. We talked a little bit earlier about my friend Phil Lyles, mm-hmm. who was also known as Lillian Devereaux, who's the show director at Tony's Corner Pocket over there at 817 West Dallas. We talk about Tony's a lot because a lot of fundraisers are done there. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to talk about the bars who do fundraisers. Another bar, I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent, another bar that is doing fundraisers now is Crocker. It's on Crocker and Fairview, right behind El Paraiso restaurant.
It's kind of catty corner from Ripcord.
Yes. The owner there I met on Thanksgiving Day by the name of Gray, and he's got some nice plans. He wants groups to come in and do fundraisers for charity, mm-hmm. for the community. He said he's not too all that thrilled about somebody coming in and doing a fundraiser so that they can pay their way to the Mr. Texas Lala. Mm-hmm. You know, competition. But, you know, if it's raising money for children with AIDS or something like that, he's all for it. And mm-hmm. he's...
Excellent.
He's more than happy to lend his bar for that.
On some of the idea that the fundraising should be about the cause you're raising it for,
yes.
not because of the personalities that may be involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and it's great to hear that he's doing that.
Yeah,
because there's so many bar owners out there, and I'm not going to single out anybody
because
I don't know all the bar owners myself, and I don't really care because mm-hmm. I don't frequent these places, just for my own personal reasons.
Yeah,
but there, and it's the same way across the whole country. Not just in Houston, but there are many bar owners that won't do this.
No, that's right. They want all the money for themselves.
Exactly. They want the money for themselves. They don't care about these charities that need the help.
Or they'll only do it
in the case of looking as if they really care, but they're just trying to...
Yeah, when it comes down to it, and then they're forced into it.
They'll only do it maybe on a Sunday night when they don't have a crowd anyway.
Exactly. Instead of doing it on, like, a Saturday night when everybody's out frequenting the clubs and stuff like that. I mean, come on. Right. I mean, that only makes sense. Or a Friday night, even, because most people do go out on Friday
nights. That's right.
Because most of us, we can't make it out Sunday through Thursday because we have to work.
Well, that's right. And the bars are still a good meeting place for gay people, but it's not the only place anymore.
No, it's not. It's really not.
20, 30 years ago, that's where you went if you wanted to meet other gay people.
Exactly.
But we
have a lot more options today.
We
have a lot more options now, especially with we've become... I don't want to give too much credit to a certain... But coffee shops have become
this
thing.
Yeah, coffee shops.
And you know, certainly there is one in our neighborhood.
Go ahead and name it, because if a lot of gay people frequent it,
we go there every Saturday before the show. There's two that immediately come to mind. One is Inversion, where we hang out before this show.
That's the one next to Texas Art.
There's some very cool people there, and they're all open to all kinds of things happening in the community.
Yeah, it's a very nice place, which is also
a great place. Great coffee and everything. And if you ever wanted to say hi and actually come by and say thanks for a great show, you can always come by and say hi to us. We're hanging out.
And the other coffee shop that we so euphemistically call, because it's across from the Disco Kroger, Disco Starbucks.
There you go.
And the people there have always been very involved in community events and stuff. You know, they've gone out of their way to get involved in fundraisers and events involving HIV and things like that. And, you know, we've become that sort of culture where you don't, while the bars are still okay for some people who don't do the bars, can go there and still go to events that matter to the larger community, GLBT and more.
Right.
And all of us. And, you know, whatever is the need at the time. You know, and these are places that are often open to the idea of saying, okay, what do you need? You know, and offering the space to do it.
And if you ever see me at the Starbucks, it's a pumpkin spice frappuccino venti.
or if you see Wes out there, it's always a mocha.
When it's cold outside, it's a venti peppermint hot chocolate.
Whoa!
There you go, Merlin.
Venti peppermint signature hot chocolate.
Wow, you guys are all talking Greek.
Just give me a coffee block and keep it coming. All right?
I don't drink coffee, so. But anyhow, the point.
I'm drinking coffee right now. It's the only thing that's keeping me going right now.
Well, I do like green tea myself.
Green tea frappuccinos.
The basic point is that we have places that are willing to support the needs of the community.
Yes.
And other businesses which were more directly based in GLBT culture, there have been several which were not so always so open to it, and some of them have gone bye-bye as a result.
I've also been to some of these, they paid the price. Local coffee houses that are not too keen on letting you just hang out and drink. I was in college and our group got thrown out because we ordered stuff and then we threatened to actually stay there and do our workshop, and they said, you guys gonna go.
Of course, if you wore the right stuff, they would, you know, let you sit there without doing anything.
Well, I think they were threatened by the fact that we were actually, you know, pulling out our work and getting ready to workshop. And, you know, I'm sorry, I guess literacy must scare them or something, I don't know.
Okay, we were going to talk about...
Yes, we need to... Let's get back on track and get back to your friend.
Sorry.
Yes. Lillian Devereaux, a.k.a., well, Phil Lyles, who happens to be, as Phil Lyles, the vice president of the Colt 45s, but as his alter ego, Lillian Devereaux, he's the show director over at what did I say?
Tony's Corner Podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Keep up, Timmy.
We reported a few weeks ago he had an accident and fell and had to have facial reconstruction. Mm. They had to rebuild one of his sinuses. He now has a titanium forehead.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
talking about a heart hit.
Yeah,
now.
They had to cut across the hairline, pull the skin back, and then pick all the bones out.
Oh man,
you know, it was really bad. It was really bad. But I saw him tonight. He looks fabulous.
Like so
I
said earlier, well?
I think they kind of tightened it up there.
Lost a few years.
Yeah. No.
So he's doing well then.
He's doing well. His arm is still in the sling because he fractured his arm, and they were waiting until after he healed from the face to do anything with the arm.
Right.
And so he's going to have a cast and lots of physical.
A little bit of physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a subject I know something about.
But
anyhow,
because he directly after the accident, he wasn't at his prettiest. He didn't really want anybody in the hospital, to visit. And I certainly understand that. You're never really pretty if you have to go into the hospital.
There's nothing pretty or fashionable about wearing a gown.
No.
Especially one that's open in the rear.
Exactly.
And you would think that,
you're into that
I would be happy to be wearing one of those, but no.
No matter how private the room is, the gown is always semi-private.
Maybe if it was a pink gown.
Maybe if it was. Okay. Yes. Anyway, Phil just looks great. And we sat and talked for a good half hour, 45 minutes.
He said,
you wouldn't believe some of the rumors he heard about himself.
What? Well, we don't want to spread them around, do we?
Well, because we are prefacing these as rumors.
Right.
His face was all smashed in. It was never going to be better. And that when he had the accident, there was like pools of blood all over the place. There wasn't. He was bleeding from the nose, and he had, because of the way he fell, it was like concrete / rug burns all over his face.
Wow.
Yeah, but his head did not crack open. The skin stayed intact.
He wasn't Humpty Dumpty.
He just smashed all the bones in his forehead.
Yeah.
He just pulled an Evel Knievel.
Exactly.
With his face.
Yeah. Somebody had said that he had his foot was smashed. There's nothing wrong with his feet at all. It's just all of these things. You wonder how they get started.
Yes, well,
random drunk.
It's called
evil queens talking.
Well,
to the
and I'm
that's
sorry.
What it is.
It's the children's game of telephone. Yes, start at point A with somebody having the common cold. By point Z, you have bubonic plague.
Absolutely.
And you have 2 days to live.
I know it. It was all that kind of stuff.
It was
crazy.
It's nonsense. So.
Nobody looks absolutely great. And
good to hear.
And Tony has been absolutely fabulous, has been paying his salary, even though he's been sick and out.
That's outstanding to hear.
That is outstanding for a bar owner. Because usually when you work in a bar like that, you only get paid when you're there working.
Exactly.
So I was really floored to hear that. So he's really been taken care of. And, of course, Tony can't wait for him to come back.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Right.
He needs his
work back.
This is good, Phil, because now Tony knows just how much you did at the bar.
And how much he's actually worth.
Yes, that's good. So.
Nothing will snap you to reality than losing the people who usually do the stuff.
He probably won't be able to go back until the first of the year.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Got to finish the healing process.
Got healing, and he'll be able to work with his arm in a sling. And he said when he comes back, he's going to make a big deal of it.
Good.
You know, he's got a whole show planned.
Oh,
you know,
good.
And
I see
special
Ryan.
Music. Oh, yeah.
And I see, you know, rhinestones and glitter on the sling.
Yeah. That's right. That's
there you
right.
Go. Sequins.
And you know,
it'll
of
be
course,
fabulous.
Doing the bitches back.
Of course.
And there you go.
Not personally knowing him, I wish him best when he gets back on the stage. And whatever he does, maybe I'll swing by and actually frequent just to see the comeback show.
No kidding.
And, of course, you know, we'll hear about it first here on KPFD after
you
hours.
Will. You will. Absolutely. So Lillian Devereaux is now known as the bionic bitch.
Brilliant.
Oh, God.
Is that
better?
Great?
That's better, stronger.
Yes, exactly.
And faster.
Okay.
They believe lift heavy microphones with us.
As I mentioned earlier, I've had Wes pull a lot of the music for tonight.
Thanks, Wes.
Choral music, and I did that especially because, as I found out last week,
I was in choruses.
Yes,
for a good portion of my life, starting off in middle school. Actually, I started in the eighth grade in choruses. Went all through high school, singing in different choruses through high school. The guys chorus, madrigal choruses, concert chorus. Went on several competitions.
So you've done you know the highbrow stuff too.
Yeah, I have. I was also being ex-military. I was in the Navy. I sang in some Navy choruses, mm-hmm. Both in my technical training school and at the command that I was at in Florida. I was in the chorus there doing, because it was a training command, we would sing at the graduation ceremonies every week. Did several memorial services and stuff like that for fallen service members. And then again, like I said earlier at the top of the show, when I was living in South Florida, I was in the Gay Men's Chorus of South Florida, the oldest gay chorus in Florida.
Wow.
So the grandfather chorus down there.
Yeah.
Following after, if I remember correctly, and somebody, I imagine somebody out there will probably correct me on it, so forgive me if I'm incorrect on this, but if I remember correctly, this Gay Men's Chorus of South Florida is the second oldest in the country, with San Francisco's Gay Men's Chorus being the oldest, being our grandfather chorus.
Wow.
So, and I'll put it this way. When I moved back to Houston back in 2005, I looked up all different sorts of choruses here in Houston, and I even thought about joining the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston, but because of my work schedule, it conflicts with practices and stuff like that, so I was unable to do that. So I still enjoy all my singing in my private life.
Merlin
got a good sample of it tonight.
The New York smartass in me might be tempted to say something like, "Don't quit your day job." However, I did spend over an hour listening to him sing every Christmas song known to the gods ever. And every version of every Christmas song. Because a certain station is doing their yearly Let's Play Nothing But Christmas Music.
Oh, is it already that time of the
year?
Yes,
it is. Yes, it is. Yes,
and
it is.
Let me tell you, boy knows how to sling a note.
Because on After Hours, the entire month of December, all you hear is queer Christmas music.
Yes.
And tonight is Wes's favorites.
Yes.
From the gay choruses across the United States.
So
and Vancouver.
I'm so glad you did that because, you know, I have my favorites, but, you know, not everybody likes my favorites.
Well, I've noticed that a lot of the ones I've picked tonight were your favorites. You did have them marked, there were several of your favorites in there, which I hadn't heard before, and I really enjoyed them tonight. And, again, I've picked a lot of my favorites.
Good.
A lot of my old-time favorites, and sat here and listened with the audience while you were off having your break time and everything.
Yes, yes.
So, controlling the board while you were gone.
Yes, you were too.
So it's been quite fun. I do have five more songs picked out. So if we've got time for them, we'll play a few of them.
And I want everyone to know he did not have to put out for me to do this.
Where is Chris tonight, by the way?
Chris is home with a headache that he's had for 4 days.
Oh, my goodness. Nice.
And he's taken everything.
Chris, you better get
take.
Well.
So we know he probably turned off the radio round about the time the Carl part.
Oh, started. Probably. Oh. Yeah.
So not to disturb his headache. Because we all know how he feels about Carl.
I know. He does not like
Chris,
it.
We wish you well.
We do.
Yes.
We do.
Get better soon.
So. At least we know that there's something up there.
Yeah.
You know, if he didn't have a brain, he couldn't have a headache.
So. Yeah. Well,
anyway. Then again, as I was told,
of course, then he couldn't
up,
do what you're doing tonight over there, sitting in the director's seat.
Yeah, see?
But as I was told growing up, if I had a head like that, I'd see a doctor. Back.
Ooh.
Goodness.
All right.
How about we do a quick song? Take a quick little break?
Okay.
How's that sound to you?
These three?
Well, I've got Windy City queued up over there.
That would be this one,
yes,
the middle one.
Yes, and got it queued up on track one, which is Ave Maria.
Okay.
Let's go for it.
Angelus Domini nunciavit Maria, et concepit Spiritus Sanctus.
All right, guys. That was Windy City doing Ave Maria. So, all right, Jose.
Okay, it's roundtable time, kids.
Where's everybody at? Get in here. So, what do we got? What's the first story there?
This one here is coming out of the Huffington Post. The dateline is London. Study, HIV could be eliminated in a decade.
Oh, what?
Cool. Tell me more. Listen up.
That's great.
The virus that causes AIDS could theoretically be eliminated in a decade if all people living in countries with high infection rates are regularly tested and treated according to a new mathematical model. In an intriguing solution to
end AIDS... How did I know there was a hook in here somewhere?
You know...
Well, when it comes to you, there's always a hook.
Yeah.
Anyway, we won't say where.
Anyhow, moving back to the story.
It is an intriguing solution to end the AIDS epidemic, but it is based on assumptions rather than data and is riddled with logistical problems. The research was published online Tuesday in the medical journal The Lancet. It's quite a startling result, said Charlie Gilks, an AIDS treatment expert at the World Health Organization and one of the paper's authors. In a relatively short amount of time, we could potentially knock the epidemic on its head. Gilks and colleagues used data from South Africa and Malawi. In their model, people were voluntarily tested each year and immediately given drugs if they tested positive for HIV, regardless of whether they were sick. Within 10 years, HIV infections dropped by 95%. Other initiatives like safe sex education and male circumcision were also used. Strategy would cut the estimated number of AIDS deaths between 2008 and 2050 by about half, from 8.7 million to 3.9 million, leaving only sporadic HIV cases. Now, here's the other kicker. Experts think the strategy's cost would peak at about $3.4 billion a year. Yeah, I said billion, too.
Oh, $3.4 billion. Wow.
Yeah. Billion with a B.
Though expenses would fall after initial investment.
Mm-hmm.
Says Myron Cohen of the University of North Carolina, quote, "This is certainly beyond the bounds of the current infrastructure for many countries, but that is not a reason to think big," end quote.
Very interesting.
Well, $700 billion ought to be enough, but you know what? What about us?
Yeah, really.
What do you think about this, Marlon?
I will say what I usually say. Prove to me that something works, and I'll start to believe in it.
Exactly.
And while they're talking about all these theoretical things, I would remind people of a few other statistics, like the number of people who get tested as compared to the number of people who go back to get the results of their tests.
Exactly. That's the biggest factor.
There was a very large word there, voluntarily.
Yep.
It seems from what I'm understanding of this, in order for this to work, people actually have to get off their butts and be responsible for their own survival.
And you know how often that happens.
And I have lost a rather large list of friends, several of whom were not particularly good at keeping themselves alive and or doing anything to take care of themselves. There's an awful lot of people, they get tested and then they bury their heads in the sand and they don't bother to find out the results.
Exactly.
You might as well not bother to get tested because you're not doing anything proactive to keep yourself alive.
Here's the thing that people who go and get tested need to understand. Go back and get the results. Good or bad, they offer counseling for you for free, I believe, right?
There's a lot of places that do, yes.
You know, there's counseling available to help you get through this.
Mm-hmm.
Go back, get your results. Good or bad, get counseling, get help.
Because if you do your part, that little bit that you do, okay, you're contributing to eliminating or cutting down on the number of HIV cases. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a statistic maybe, but you've done more by going back and getting those results.
I mean, we have, you know, once upon a time we had nowhere to go. There was squat. There was, and the mainstream medical community, you know, just acted like we were the freaks, and you know, we were to be treated as if we should all be put on an island and, you know, left to die.
And then it started happening to them.
And then it started, and all of a sudden it mattered to them. Because it was that the rest of the story. It was the rest of the people, you know, who were getting stuff. And it was happening to them. And it started to matter.
Now,
and now, today, here we are. There are organizations left, right, and center that are out there to help people. There are clinics. We have clinics. We have organizations that deal with every aspect of this, from the moment you find out you're positive to dealing with getting medications, dealing with housing, and all of the things that come with finding out that you're positive. There is no reason, once you find out you're positive, that you should be left alone. That you should be completely without any form of help, because there is so much out there now to get. There are some programs that don't work for this situation or that situation, but there's something out there for most of us now. And, you know, it's, you know, we are, a lot of us who are old enough to remember when there were 3 and 4 pages of obits in the back of our, you know, of our local publications, have now seen that shrink and have seen us survive for 10 and 15 and 20 and 25 years.
And
it's because, on some level, it's because things have gotten better. There are those who are paying attention to their stuff. But, you know, what about the new people? What about who need to know that there's this whole backup system that can be there for them, you know, if they reach out to it?
Well,
anyhow, sorry.
No, that's okay.
But,
I see Jose's got a related story.
Now, something related to this, and this is kind of on the backside of this. In Iran, a lot of the HIV cases were related to intravenous drug use.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're seeing an increase in sexually transmitted HIV infections.
Oh, did Iran finally figure out they had people having sex there?
Well, I think that's part of it, but
I think a bigger part is that men who are having sex with other men would rather say that they got it from IV drug use rather than sex with men.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because I think you can still be executed in Iran.
Yep,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I'm HIV positive through sex, and the fact that you had that kind of sex, you get executed.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of, it kind of ups the ante in terms of the fear of being positive.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, admitting it even to yourself.
Now, mm-hmm. what I'm seeing here is that this is what they're doing is that they're distributing syringes and education to help control infections among drug addicts. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, there's a start.
I mean,
they got a long way to go from there.
Well, there was
but
a thing
there's
I
a start.
TV about this kid in Saudi Arabia where they're building all the incredible buildings and everything, fantasy city, whatever city that is.
Oh, in Dubai.
Yeah, in Dubai. And he was dragged out into the desert. He and a friend were dragged out to the desert and raped. And
I forget what happened to the people who raped him, but the kid's parents had to smuggle him out of the country because he was going to be executed because he was raped. So I mean, all that, it gets much more complex when you have when you have that kind of justice system.
But go on.
Well, the interesting, I'm kind of picking through the article here, but it says here that this is from Reuters, Dateline Tehran. Sexually transmitted HIV infections are on the rise in Iran, and the Islamic Republic is setting up telephone hotlines to help fight the problem, a senior official said in comments published Tuesday. Injecting drug users are the main risk group in Iran, which is on a heroin smuggling route from to the west from Afghanistan, but officials are also concerned about the number of people who are infected with the AIDS virus through sexual contacts, what we were talking about. Now, the thing is that you have to understand that this is the UN handling this, not the Iran government, but the UN is the one that's doing the education, the distribution of the syringes, etc. They're operating independent of the extremist government.
Right.
Okay, this is what we need to understand here. This is being done through the UN.
Because the UN isn't burying its head in the sand.
No, they're not. They've been very vocal and very prominent in fighting the disease and taking it head on. And I kind of wanted to bring these up to remind people tomorrow is World AIDS Day, December 1st. And it's kind of the reason I wanted to bring up these articles. It's to remind people, listen, this disease is still out there. We're going on almost 30 years now, you know, and it's still prevalent. It's still out there. It doesn't matter how advanced the technology is in treating the disease, it's still out there.
Still out there.
Very much so.
And there's, it ain't fun.
And there's two people in this studio here who can attest to that.
And we love them both.
Three of them.
Yes, we
I apologize.
Oh, three. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, we love all three of you.
Yes.
We're glad that y'all are fighting along and still with us today.
Yeah, because well, you know. We're the stubborn ones. We refuse to go anywhere.
Well, well, we know you're stubborn, Merlin.
Well, I can attest,
what else is new?
I can attest that not having the disease myself, but knowing lots, and I do mean lots, of gay men, and just anybody in particular, but mainly is through my affiliations, a lot of gay men that have the disease. I've seen, I knew one gentleman back when I lived in Florida, had the disease since almost the onset, and is still healthy as a horse today. But on
I've
the
had it since at least 1983.
Yeah, me too. I've had it since. I've pretty much had it since you can.
Yeah. Yeah. On the opposite side of that coin, though, out of that same group, because, I mean, these guys, a lot of these guys were all in the chorus with me down there in South Florida. Okay. On the opposite side of that coin, a friend of ours who also had the disease, last time I heard anything about him, and this was right before I moved, was in the hospital, had become really gravely sick, and I mean, I don't know if he passed on or not, but if he's still out there, I'm hoping that he's doing well. If not, I hope that his all my friends back in Florida and his family have had the time to grieve his loss and everything, and and are rejoicing in the life that he did have.
And that just goes to show you folks that the drugs do not work for everyone.
No, they don't.
No. Really.
There are drug-resistant strains of the virus.
Yeah.
At the same time, if someone asked me, would you want to be positive, I would definitely say no, thank you. But having the virus has forced me into the position where I just have... I mean, it's amazing what I know that I wouldn't know, and the things that I've been forced to do to keep alive that had a whole spiritual side to them. Mm-hmm. That, and I got to mm-hmm. where I would go when somebody was positive. I took it seriously, but I said, well, welcome to the accelerated evolution group. Evolve or die.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. So, I mean, I can truly say HIV in my life has been enormously beneficial. And it has been in terms of the gay community and the terms of the ways it's grown. You know, back in the day, I remember trying to get people to be concerned about world starvation or when they were having famines or when they were having plagues. People, it's like, well, I got to be at the bar and I got to get my hair fixed and everything. And then everybody was like, nobody cares. It's like, well, okay, put now the foot is on the shoe, other shoe. Care about everybody that's suffering on the planet.
Yeah.
It has forced me to take better care of my body.
Yes.
Yeah, I, you know, a few years ago when I had that bout that said to me, okay, you're not taking care of yourself. it was like,
oh, okay.
We do have to take care of ourselves and we do have to pay attention and we do have to take care of each other.
Okay, we're getting up to the... we're getting close to the end here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've got the bad joke of the week.
Uh-oh.
Bad joke of the week. Whee! Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. A chicken farmer went to a local bar, sat next to a woman, and ordered a glass of champagne. The woman perks up and says, "How about that? I just ordered a glass of champagne, too." "What a coincidence," the farmer says. "This is a special day for me. I'm celebrating." "This is a special day for me, too. I'm also celebrating," says the woman. "What a coincidence," says the man. As they clink glasses, the farmer asks, "What are you celebrating?" "Well, my husband and I have been trying to have a child, and today my gynecologist told me that I'm pregnant." "What a coincidence," says the man. "I'm a chicken farmer, and for years all my hens were infertile, but today they're finally laying fertilized eggs." "That's great," says the woman. "How did your chickens become fertile?" "I used a different cock," he replied. The woman smiled and said, "What a coincidence."
That was truly, truly a bad joke.
Yeah, really.
Thank you.
Well,
that was hysterical.
I got something for you guys.
Okay, quickly, and then we're gonna close the show off with one more song.
This one here is coming out of the Telegraph in London. It looks like gay penguins steal eggs from straight couples.
Whoa!
A couple of penguins are attempting to steal eggs from straight birds in an effort to become fathers. It has been reported. Two penguins have been started placing stones at the feet of parents before waddling away with their eggs in a bid to hide their theft. But the deception has been noticed by other penguins at the zoo who have ostracized a gay couple from the group. Now keepers have decided to segregate the pair of three-year-old male birds to avoid disrupting the rest of the community during the hatching season. A keeper at the Polar Land in Harbin in northeast China explained that the gay couple had the natural urge to become fathers despite their sexuality. "It's not discrimination. We have to fence them separately. Otherwise, the whole group will be disturbed during hatching time," he added. "There are numerous examples of homosexuality in the animal kingdom, but gay penguins have captured the public's attention more than any other species." A German zoo provoked outrage from gay lobby groups after attempting to mate a group of gay male penguins with Swedish female birds who have flown in especially to seduce them. But the project was abandoned after the males refused to be "quote unquote" turned, showing no interest in their would-be mates.
Why don't they just import some eggs from someplace else and expand the gene pool, and everybody's happy? Nobody gets their eggs stolen, and the guys get to have their.
The short version is they're having way too much fun with this.
In 2002, a couple of penguins at a New York zoo who had been together for 8 years were outed when keepers noticed they were both males.
How about that? Well, on that note,
okay.
talking about children, I chose an appropriate song to end our show with, since we were talking about kids tonight.
We were.
And I found this appropriate, and we'll play it straight at a straight. Well, nothing straight on this show.
No. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right after Jimmy gives us the station identity.
No, we'll have to do that after the song.
Oh, after the song. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and end our show with a song from the Seattle Men's Chorus, their holiday concert. Going to play Christmas Is for Children.
He's too fat for the chimney, too fat for the chimney. So open the door and let poor Santa Claus in. There's no room, there's no room for his tummy, tummy. He's too strongly, mommy, mommy. Without Santa Claus, oh, how can Christmas begin?
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night. She didn't see me creep down the stairs to have a peep. She thought that I was tucked up in my bedroom fast asleep.
And I saw Mommy jingle Santa.
me because somebody snitched on me. Next year I'll be going straight.
Right.
Next year I'll be good, just wait. I start now, but it's too late. Somebody snitched on me.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're away.
This is the time of year to plant fruit trees in our area, and you can pick out one just right for your yard at the Urban Harvest Annual Fruit Tree Sale. The sale is located at the Rice University Football Stadium Concourse on Greenbrier between Rice and University Boulevard. There will be a large selection of citrus trees, peaches, plums, apples, pears, figs, pomegranates, pecans, grapes, blackberries, blueberries, persimmons, starfruit, guava, dragon fruit, avocados, olives, and more. The sale will be held Saturday, January 17th from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. Two pre-sale classes will be held at the Urban Harvest offices on Saturday, January 10th and Tuesday, January 13th. For more information and directions to the sale and classes, check the Urban Harvest website at www.urbanharvest.org.
Hi there, I'm Mr. V.
Hi, I'm Mrs. V. If you enjoy a little down-home humor with your down-home blues, join us here Sunday mornings.
That's from 8 to 11, Blues on the Move, where you can hear me push Miss V's button.
Miss who?
Miss V.
Yeah, right. I can't feel it when you push it.
Oh, baby, I can push it hard. So join us Sunday morning. That's from 8 to 11 right here on KPFT, 90.1 FM, Pacifica Radio, and 89.5 in Galveston, Texas.
The following program may contain language or imagery that may be offensive to some listeners.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.